Is there ever a moment where you don't want to do something, but you feel like you kind of have to do it anyways just because you've been doing it on a weekly basis? This is one of those moments. I'm your host, Josh Polha, with Joe Gilbert, our usual Browns Incident Sites WFMY podcast edition. This is one of those games I not only feel deflated, but like, it's against Pittsburgh. Like, the last playoff, let's just start. Last year's playoffs, it was awesome beating the Steelers, especially the way the Browns did. But, like, this year, it's just like we're eight games into the season of a 17-game regular season, and I'm almost like, well, I won't even bring up the NFL draft. I'm not there yet.
No.
But I just feel so deflated. And before Joe, so I know Joe's at the game. This podcast is brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network. We're live, like usual, on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Please leave your comments, good or bad. Don't swear, please. But yeah, I mean, we'll feature your comments on air. It'll probably give us something to talk about because it will. And this is the type of podcast where I just don't feel like talking about the Browns game today, to be honest. But Joe, give us your thoughts. I know you were at the game today, the season ticket holder. How was it in Cleveland? Before the game, it was probably fun. During the game, it was probably sucked. After the game, it was probably miserable.
Yeah,
and it was Halloween. Like, I know Halloween's supposed to be scary, but I wasn't expecting the Browns to make it scarier.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah, that was a miserable game, man. It was it was just ugly, and I said it after. It was embarrassing. Just how they lost and to who they lost to, and making it seem like they were a better team than they really were. It's just, yeah, it's a deflating loss, I would say. It kind of puts a pin in some of the expectations that we had. Obviously it's not the end of the season or anything like that, but it's a game that, it needs to be a wake-up call, hopefully. I don't know if it will. Hopefully it will. But something needs to change because it is not working. The offense looks terrible. The defense is just gives up almost every third down, it seems like. It's just the defense looked good today. Like, you'd think, oh, they only gave up 15 points, but the Pittsburgh didn't have their kicker for half a game. They did a fake field goal, which was one of the dumbest and worst calls I've ever seen in my life.
But we won't have to get into this. But that I'll be the first to say it. That should have been roughing the passer.
Yeah.
In today's day and age in the NFL.
Yeah, in today's days. Yeah. Oh, I was fully expecting it. But
yeah, I was fully expecting it too.
Yeah, it was just so bad.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe today's game. It was so bad. Like, it's hard to. Honestly, it's hard, besides like Greg Newsome the third, who we'll get into, it's hard to say, like, point at one player and be like, that guy did good today. It's
Miles.
Oh, well, Myles Garrett. Yes, Miles, my bad. Yes. I don't know how I forgot about Myles Garrett. It all started with his perfect costume, the Grim Reaper, and having every name of the quarterbacks that he's sacked on his back. That was awesome. And then, yeah, I mean, but at this point, that's just like expected, I guess. So if he has a bad game, I'd be disappointed.
That's true.
But, like,
it's just,
I haven't been this deflated about a loss in quite a while.
Yeah. Probably, what, 2 years now? It's just, it's kind of a blow to your expectations, blow to whatever you were hoping for this season. It's not over. It's clear. Things can turn around. I'm not saying it's over. And
anything. You are awfully optimistic.
Yeah, I try to be, but it's not one thing. That's the problem. Like, it's either one thing or the other, or it's just like the Browns would have a great offensive series, and then almost immediately the defense just allows a response every single time. It's so deflecting.
Wait, hold on. The Browns had a great offensive series today?
They had about Joe? Two, I think. About two. They had, okay. The first,
I'll
the
go. First I'll take was, your word.
The first one was solid, and then the touchdown drive in the second half was good too. But okay,
understandable.
But I believe they responded. The defense allowed a score after both of those, like on the very next drive, which is just you can't be successful. The defense just cannot get off the field on third down. Cannot just hold a defense to or hold an offense to no points on the drive following points for your offense. It's not a good recipe right now. It was excruciating again. This defense is one of the most painful defenses to watch. And we watched last year's, and I think this might be even worse because I know they have talent. We all know they have talent, and they just continually get beat by the same things every single week, besides 2 weeks where they played a backup quarterback and a terrible offensive line. And then I don't know what the heck happened in Minnesota that they're allowed to do that. But it's just excruciating to watch them. And the 15 points probably makes them look better than they actually were, but they were bad. It was bad. They played against a really crappy offense and they allowed a crappy offense to score enough points to win. It was bad.
Yeah, and we have one comment. One of the only good things today, I can agree with Ed Hodler here, yes. Chef Ed. The uniforms, I love those orange pants and brown jerseys.
I do too.
Love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the only, especially on Halloween, it was like a perfect like orange and brown like that.
Yep.
I dig it. Now, if they would have worn all orange, that would have been, I don't know about that. But, Ed, I completely agree with
creamsicles.
That.
Creamsicles.
Yeah. Oh, that would be the Cleveland Creamsicles. I can only imagine the jokes that would be made about that nickname.
Yeah. we probably don't want to start something up there.
But, yeah, you were talking about, oh, man. The defense. Ever since the NFL draft, I made fun of the Steelers for drafting a running back in the first round, which you rarely ever do nowadays, and a tight end in the second round. So I guess it's partially my fault.
We literally got beat really by well
today. Yeah, so I guess I'll take part of the blame for this because Najee Harris dominated. Let's be honest, he dominated today. I don't even know his stats.
He had or something.
26 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. All right, so not that great.
But compared to what he's been doing,
yes,
this is one of his best games of his career so far.
Yeah. And then Pat Freiermuth, I don't know if I got that pronunciation right.
Close.
That freaking touchdown.
That was impressive.
That a one-handed catch by like a wide receiver is one thing, by a tight end, and to get both feet down, that was one hell of a catch.
It was.
And that was like the backbreaker. That was boom.
Yep, that was, it was like they heard us. I feel like Big Ben and the Steelers are listening to
us. I'm sorry. Even though we only get like 400 downloads per episode, it must have been Big Ben one. It must have been one of those 300 or 400.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare game. On Halloween, it was a nightmare, man. There's just so many. It wasn't one thing either. Like, you can go with so many different ways of what to blame for this game, and you would be right probably.
Yeah, I still have to write up my behind the numbers for either tomorrow or Tuesday on winitfornextyear.com. It's going to be hard for me, besides Myles Garrett and Greg Newsome, it's going to be hard for me to find positive things to talk about in terms of the numbers.
Well, our kicker is still perfect, so semi-perfect because he got blocked
last week. Yeah, it's just and the fact that I know I said this earlier, the fact that it was against the Steelers just makes it that 10 times worse.
It really does. It does.
It does.
It's just like if we're not playing against the backups at First Energy Stadium, it's just a nightmare playing against the Steelers, and it shouldn't be. Not with this team. And it continues to be.
Big Ben here we are again.
Continues to be the best quarterback in the First Energy history.
I think the stat still holds up. I know Baker's been starting for 3 years now, but I think the stat still holds up where Big Ben is the winningest quarterback in First Energy Stadium. Well,
I think Baker passed him, but I don't know what this win does for it. But
Fact that like this is even a discussion shows you like how bad things have been.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Browns are 4-4. They still have plenty of season left, I know. But I mean, this offense, it was clear, I guess it was clear today, Nick Chubb wasn't 100%. I think they rushed him back a little bit too early. He had 16 carries, 61 yards. I don't know if they rushed him back because Kareem Hunt is out. Like, if Kareem Hunt was playing, which that's another thing. If Kareem Hunt was in, that game completely changes too with two healthy running backs. So I don't know if Nick Chubb, I don't know. And then Jarvis Landry, one, he always catches the ball. Two, he hasn't fumbled it since December of 2018. He had two crucial drops late in the fourth quarter and a fumble late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Those two things never happen. I mean,
well, he does drop. He is.
Okay. Not never. Is, okay. Fumbles never happen. Makes,
yeah, drops, fumbles, yeah.
Drops, I mean, they don't happen twice in a half of a quarter, especially on two crucial plays.
Yeah, it was like, I thought Baker had a really good fourth quarter. I really did. And if they made the plays that he was giving it to, it would have been looked a lot better. It just, I have to say, like, Jarvis killed this offense today in the fourth quarter.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're listening right now or if you listen to this podcast in the morning or whenever. Yeah. I'm sorry, but Jarvis, for the first time in his Browns career, he killed the Browns today.
Yeah, he had three just critical mistakes. Just obviously the biggest one being the fumble, but that drop on that would have been an easy first down, and then the drop to end the game. It was going to be a tough catch, but that's what you pay these guys for. Like, if you're going to be considered one of the top paid receivers in the league, you got to make those plays. It was a tough catch, but it was a catch that he should have made. And it's frustrating to see. That's one of the things I was talking about. It's just one thing after another. Like Baker played well in that fourth quarter, but then the receivers let him down. And then in the early in the game, the run game and Baker was struggling a little bit. It was just, and then the offensive line was struggling. It's just a wild thing to see. I just don't know how this is happening. It just seems like one thing after another. It's frustrating to see because I know they're good. We've seen them succeed.
They're good on paper.
Yeah. Well, but we saw them last year and this is good. Like it's not a different offense. Like, I don't know.
I think whether this is like that sophomore slump for Kevin Stefanski or teams got a whole offseason to adjust to him. Kevin Stefanski has, I mean, let's be honest, he's gotten worse this year than he was last year. Whether it's as a play caller, I don't know. And injuries can play a part too. Cause I mean, the Browns have been without both tackles at some points. I mean, they got them both back today. Conklin goes back and dislocates.
I don't know. I think he dislocates his elbow, which is probably a season ender, I would assume, or close to it.
So, yeah, I mean, I know injury, but it's football. Injuries aren't an excuse. Mm-hmm. And, like, Baker played decent today. He didn't play good. He didn't play bad. But what people will focus on is that this was the third game this season where Baker had an opportunity late in the fourth quarter, and he had two opportunities today, actually, late in the fourth quarter to drive his team down for a touchdown to win the game, and he is now 0-3.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Jarvis dropped the ball. Right.
Today, but, I wouldn't really blame him for today. But
that's what people are going to talk about.
Yeah, it does. It just, like, yeah, it's true. It continues. Obviously, I don't think today's was any part of his problem, but it is what it is. He hasn't been successful in those situations. And
yeah, people will look at the big picture and just say Baker is 0-3 on game-winning. Well, not potential game-winning drives, I guess I'd put it that way, where he could have scored a touchdown to win the game, and he's 0-3. I mean, yeah, I'm not blaming it solely on Baker. I know it's Jarvis, and I mean, I guess we had to talk about it too, Odell Beckham Jr., one target, one catch, 6 yards. Yeah. Although I guess he did have another target. I know it was deep down the middle of the field. I'm trying to think. I think it was fourth quarter. Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't a target because it hit his hands too. So I don't know why that's not considered a target now that I think about it.
Yeah, but, it was. Yeah, it was right down the middle.
But still, OBJ is out there. He's not just another receiver. He's paid as one of the best receivers in the league, and he was basically non-existent again today. It's not a Baker problem, I don't think. I don't know what kind of problem it is. I don't know if the Browns know, and if they do know, they're not saying anything about it, obviously. But I guess I'll bring it up too. And this can we can talk about this. This can go from a short podcast, which me and Joe both want, to a long podcast. But I have to bring it up because it's, I mean, it's there. The NFL trade deadline's Tuesday afternoon. Odell Beckham Jr., do you trade him? I know last week we said don't trade him because he means more to the Browns than anything that the Browns would get in return. But at this point, do you trade him? And just whatever you get for him, you get for him?
I wouldn't do it during the season. I think it would create too many storylines just to deal with. We already have enough storylines this year and enough.
But then, it's one of those things where we always say OBJ's potential, OBJ's potential. But it's been a year and a half, right?
Oh, yeah.
Year and a half. And it's still OBJ's potential. It's not his. We want it to be OBJ's production, not OBJ's potential. And it's been a year and a half, and things haven't changed. I mean, he's shown glimpses. Like, I know last year, the play in Dallas where he had that reverse and stuff like that. But as getting paid, I think he's getting paid like $15 million. I don't know. It's one of those things where the Browns brought him in expecting him to be like the Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen or I'm trying to think of another one where the team made a big trade for a wide receiver and he helped out the quarterback immensely. The Browns were hoping that OBJ would be Stephon Diggs to what Stephon Diggs is to Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. And he has been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
If anything, he has brought in more negative storylines than he has done good storylines. And that's a problem.
Yeah, it just draws so much questions like why this isn't working, because he's clearly talented enough. I could see the whole field during the games and he's getting open. It's just like, I don't know if it's just not a part of the offense for some reason. It's just the weirdest, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words on what this whole situation is. I'm guessing it's just not, it's going to end in a divorce here, even though I don't think it's really Odell's fault. Yeah, he has made some big drops when they actually do target him, but when they just ignore him so much, and I don't know what else to, I don't know. it just brings up so much questions, and I don't know.
Yeah.
A wide receiver, I thought was going to be a settled position for a few years. I thought we're going to have to make tough decisions this off season, but now we're going to have to hit the receiver position very hard, like through the draft, through free agency. What they're showing, that was bad today. Like no one besides OBJ was getting open a little bit, but he was getting double teamed a lot. And then the rest of the offense just didn't get open. And it's just,
And part of that is due to the Browns were without Donovan Peoples-Jones today. Mm-hmm. He was inactive. I know he's not like some big name outside of Cleveland, but he's a solid wide receiver. He's probably the third best wide receiver on the Browns, I'd say. Rashard Higgins is probably fourth.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, so Tuesday, I guess let's look ahead to Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. One, will the Browns trade OBJ? No. That is a big question.
Oh, well.
Two, I'm trying to act like a sports talker because I know that's what they're going to talk about it. Two, will the Browns, with Conklin being out for a while with a dislocated elbow, possibly the season, I honestly don't know how long that injury is for, especially for an offensive tackle. Will the Browns trade for a starting offensive tackle? I don't know if they will. I don't know enough about offensive tackles around the league. Like, do the Lions have a good one that's like, I don't know. But I think Tuesday at 4 p.m. will tell us a lot about what Andrew Berry thinks of the rest of the season.
Yeah. I don't expect them to do anything, really. I think the only thing is what you were talking about. Maybe more depth in the offensive tackle position because they have none now.
Literally none. It went from a great position with plenty of depth at all, like even offensive tackle, offensive line, both, to literally now they're decent because they're without a starter and no depth whatsoever.
Yeah, and their best backup is out for the year, so I could see them going getting a serviceable tackle to back up Hance. I don't think they're going to get a starter. I think Hance is fine. I know he's not the best, but he's been serviceable so far. Like TJ Watt didn't have a dominant game today, in my opinion.
That one move though he had where he saw the running back, I forget who the running back was, but he saw the running back coming to help out. So he did a spin move back toward the line of scrimmage and then sacked. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad we have Myles Garrett. Yeah, I'm not saying that he's better than Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how good TJ Watt is too. I mean, him and Myles Garrett are just incredible.
Yeah. If Blake Hance can handle, or not handle, but survive against TJ Watt, then they're fine. Because that's going to be the hardest person you'll go against this year. So I'm fine with him as starter, but they got to get depth because it's just if one of them goes down, they cannot put Rodney Hudson in that end.
And it's not like the MLB where like you can trade for a guy if he's put on waivers. Like once Tuesday comes and goes, that's it.
Yeah.
Besides free agency.
I have to give credit to Michael Bodie in our waiting for next year. He kind of questioned Rodney Hudson's pick during the draft because he knew how much work he had to go into it to be serviceable right away, and it has come back to bite him because he's the last line of defense right now, and that's not a good sign.
Man, what is a good sign right now? Seriously. Myles Garrett, that's about it.
Myles Garrett.
And speaking of injuries, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, he would have been such a big help today, I think, just flying around on defensively. I know Joe said it earlier, the defense only gave up 15 points, but it's not like they played that great of a game. I mean, they didn't force any turnovers. They didn't have any, like, big-time momentum-changing sacks.
Yeah.
On the scoreboard, I guess they look good, but if you watch the entire game, I mean, they're okay. I mean, if you give up 15 points as an NFL defense, you should win the game 99% of the time. So I'm certainly not blaming them for this loss. But they could have done more as well, and I think JOK would have been a much-needed addition if he was healthy. It's just, here we go again, another injury. It's just crazy how injuries have just, I mean, at full strength, I'm not saying that the Browns would be a ton better, but they'd certainly be better than they are right now.
Yeah, it's that he would definitely help. There was another breakdown in the secondary. I know this is like, it just seems like
it's, man, death, Texas, and breakdown in the Browns secondary.
Yeah, there's just two gigantic ones. One was I think it was first and like 20 or something, and they got a first down because no one decided to cover the tight end. Right in the middle of the field.
Wait, isn't that like a Browns tradition, though? Yeah, that is like, a Browns don't guard tradition. The tight end, no matter who the defensive coordinator is. A
tradition
is.
Like no other. Yeah, it was. And then the end of the game where you let up a 70-yard
reception. It was like 50.
Easy slant.
But that's tough because, let's be honest, you're thinking that the Steelers are just going to run the clock out. Well, not run the clock out, but waste the clock.
Yeah.
Or waste the Browns' timeout. Not waste the clock, waste the Browns' timeouts. And that was a run-pass option, as Tony Romo said on the TV broadcast. I mean, that was a great play call. One-on-one coverage, post, with it. I think it was Deontay Johnson, who's a speedster. Who just he cut the guy's face, got in front of him on the short post route, and he was gone. I mean,
yeah,
And I think it was second down and like nine. You're thinking that they're going to run the ball. You load the box and you just count. The Steelers counted on their veteran quarterback, who's not that good anymore, let's be honest, to make a good play. And he did. I mean, he threw the ball 5 yards maybe, and that 55 yards credited to him.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, true. But it shouldn't happen. If you're a good team, you don't let that happen. You got to be ready for anything.
But let's be honest,
good teams. Go ahead.
But you're referencing that the Browns are a good team right now.
Right.
I don't know.
No. I said it after the game. They're not good right now. This is a mediocre to
average. This is you can. Remember all those? I mean, like I said, we're 8 games into a 17-game regular season, but the Browns literally had like top 6 Super Bowl odds, and now we're 8 games in the season and we're saying that they're not a good team right now. I seem to say this a lot lately on these podcasts, but this kind of stuff only happens in Cleveland.
That's what my dad said after the game. Like, this is the only only Cleveland where you have Super Bowl expectations and you're 4-4 after the game.
Although Kansas City is not looking too good either, and their players are shit talk their fan base. So at least the Browns haven't gotten that low yet. But then again, they've also won a Super Bowl within the last 2 years, and here the Browns are. So you give
can we trade positions?
I'll gladly take Patrick Mahomes too.
Yeah. It's the season we were thought that this is it has produced just so many more questions than answers and fun. It has produced more questions and fun, overall fun moments, which is just, it's frustrating, man. I don't know what else to say. It's just not what we were all expected, not what the team expected. It seems like they're just kind of bewildered with what is happening. I don't know what. It's just next week's a must win, and I don't want to say it in week
don't
want to say it in week 9.
Reverse jinx it. No, do you know what? Reverse jinx it by knocking on wood when you say it, Joe.
They need to win this, or else I don't know how they can get in the playoffs.
They're 4-4 right now. They're 0-2 in the conference.
Unless you somehow win out, but they need to they need to win.
Yeah, they're not 0-2 in the conference. They're 0-1 in the AFC North.
That's what I'm saying. If they lose.
Yeah, I mean, if they win, I mean, talk about it weird. This was such a good, perfect Sunday for the Browns to win too.
Oh my God.
The Browns would have beat Pittsburgh.
Bengals.
Cincinnati somehow lost to the New York freaking Jets.
Yep.
The Buccaneers lost to a Jameis Winston-less Saints team. It was such a weird Sunday. I wish the Browns didn't have to contribute to that.
Well, they did.
But unfortunately, they did because they're the Cleveland Browns. And speaking of Jarvis Landry, Greg Lindell in our Discord, which you should join, waiting for an extra Discord.
Yes.
If you ever want to talk about the Browns, not on Twitter, which I highly recommend during a Browns game, stay off of Twitter. That's my number one recommendation always. Join the Waiting for an Extra Discord. I think it's pinned to our Twitter, WFMYCLE. Craig shared a tweet from 92.3 The Fan, Browns Jarvis Landry on Baker Mayfield's play. Quote, "It sucks I didn't make those plays when we needed them because his effort should be commended for sure." Yes. I completely agree. Because if Jarvis makes those plays, the Browns have a much better shot of scoring a game-winning touchdown on that drive. And we're not talking about Baker Mayfield being 0-3 on game-winning drives this season. We're talking about the Browns potentially beating the Steelers thanks to a Baker Mayfield with game-winning drive.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say he was playing really well in that fourth quarter. And it just kind of just collapsed. Because of big mistakes by Jarvis.
I think a lot of, you can tell that Baker Mayfield shouldn't, he will be, because like I said, he's 0-3 on game-winning drives this season. But you can tell that he's not being blamed for this loss, because I haven't been on Twitter much today, but I haven't seen one.
Don't go on Twitter.
Okay. That's always the number one thing.
Because
but I haven't seen.
Well, you're going to see a few high personalities in this town. Blame him.
Oh, great.
Justin Fox.
I love Dustin, damn it. I did, now that you say that, I did see that tweet.
Yeah.
But then again, he's a totally sports. Wrong, I mean, okay. I like Dustin, but then again, you have to remember that he's a sports talk guy.
That is true. So
he might just get the Twitterverse talking a little bit, and then maybe they'll tune in to 92.3 The Fan at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So it's one of those things where you had to take it as a grain of salt too. But I haven't seen anyone talk about Baker Mayfield's shoulder.
That's true.
Which is I feel like a good thing.
He took some hits too today. He took some
speaking of hits. All right. If Joe Hayden hits Tom Brady on the sideline like that.
Oh, he would have been.
Joe Hayden is suspended. He is suspended indefinitely. And then you have Baker Mayfield, who gets up. I love Baker, but he is so damn corny. He gets up and like does a little.
I love that.
Yeah, that is so corny. That is so corny.
So great.
I love Baker Mayfield and his enthusiasm. Yeah. I was like, Baker, you are so corny, dude. But yeah, seriously.
That was ridiculous.
If that happened,
it was late. It was on the sideline.
Yes. Yes.
I just don't know.
And speaking of late hits, Ronnie Harrison, what are you doing, dude? I think that was first quarter. The guy was clearly out of bounds. Ronnie Harrison literally had to step over the pylon in the end zone to get to him, and then he levels him. And then he's laughing about it on the sidelines. I was like, Ronnie, dude, you're a veteran. You should not be doing this stuff.
He's been bad, man. Like,
I mean,
he's been bad. It's just, there's a lot of them. Yeah, it's. Let's get out of here, man.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where we didn't get many comments either. I know Anthony Zanotti. Mm-hmm. This is going back, I think, when we were talking about OBJ. OBJ is the biggest disappointment of any player in the era of the new Browns. He does have a good argument there. He was a factor in the game last year against the Cowboys. That's it.
Going based off of that, we haven't seen him used like that again since that Cowboys game. Remember, like he did a wide receiver pass. Or Jarvis, I think, was it Jarvis who threw it? Jarvis threw it to him.
Jarvis to OBJ, yeah.
Yeah.
But OBJ also had, like, an ender on the ceiling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many questions out of this.
The Kevin Stefanski of 2020, I miss you immensely.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he should be, like, fired. It would be interesting, though, if Van Pelt gets more of the play calling duties just so Stefanski doesn't have so much on his plate.
Yeah, it's just
maybe Stefanski in year two is in a little bit over his head. I don't know. I honestly don't know. And especially because this pressure is only building up. Uh-huh. The Browns are 4-4. Like we said, they're entering a week 9 game of a 17 game season, and we're calling it a must win. That shows how much pressure is on Kevin Stefanski on the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big week for them. Big week for just how they responded last week. That was a big moment because they were down and out. Quarterback was out. This is going to be even a bigger one, man. I don't know. I don't know what else to say, man.
Man, Sports Talk Radio is going to have a field day. Joe Burrow versus Baker Mayfield.
Oh,
you can talk about that for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah.
And let's get this straight. We already know Joe Burrow, I'll say it, is better than Baker Mayfield. They're both number one overall picks, but
he's
that doesn't
like
even.
For this year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we can't just say, well, both of them are number one picks. Baker should be just as good. It's different draft classes, so you can't really say that. But the worst case scenario this weekend, or not this weekend, next weekend, next Sunday afternoon.
Please don't.
Joe Burrow.
Stop.
I'm reverse jinxing it. I'm knocking on wood.
Okay.
Reverse jinx. Joe Burrow dominates. Bengals win. And Baker Mayfield struggles. If that happens, just stay off of Twitter indefinitely. Please. Everyone.
Hey, the good thing is that's where kind of Baker got on his hot streak in Cincinnati. So maybe.
You are correct. Maybe that will give Baker a little bit of fire.
That was probably his best game of his career.
I don't know if you guys have heard Yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard, but Baker Mayfield loves playing with a chip on his shoulder. I don't know if it's been known. But yeah. Yeah, so maybe that will give Baker the chip on the shoulder that he loves to have all the time.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be better just to get away from home. I don't know. It's just they play three straight games now at home. It's they're 1-2, which is just not what you wanted.
And I think I saw somewhere that the Browns had the third toughest schedule remaining too. Please. So that's just great. I mean, I guess it adds up because you have Cincinnati twice.
Yeah. Baltimore twice. Our freaking division.
Steelers.
They're all over 500. Then
the Patriots. I mean, that's seven. No, that's six games right there out of the nine that they have left. So
the funny thing is we'll probably make the Lions game competitive.
And you're telling me not to jinx. Oh, my gosh. Imagine. Just throw Twitter in a fire if the Browns lose to the Lions in a few weeks.
Throw me in a fire.
All right, you thought it was bad now today that me and Joe didn't want to get on this podcast. If the Browns lose to the Lions,
I might just
log on here and say, "Hey, this is the Waiting for Next Year podcast," and it is over.
All right, bye. We're going to do a pure mock draft post game show.
We'll do a podcast talking about Saturday's games because it'll be college football.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, positive thoughts, everybody. Let's. I know it looks dim and dark right now, but
you're used to this spot, aren't you? I am certainly.
Yeah. Guys, just watch your Cavaliers. They're fun right now.
Hold on.
Even though schedule sucks for them,
you know things are bad for the Browns right now. When you are literally saying positively,
yeah,
just watch the Cavs. But continue.
It's true, though, right?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. That just shows you the state of the Browns.
Yeah. It's just it's a tough time. But this team, I still have confidence in Stefanski to get this team going. I don't really have confidence in Joe Woods, so we'll see in that. He is really writing his list of getting fired soon, but beside the point. I have confidence in a lot of the veterans on this team and then Stefanski. So we'll see what we got next week. The Bengals lost to the Jets. So so they're not some unworldly team that'll be tough to beat. We can go out there and beat them. Big week for this week, and thank God I'm in Las Vegas and I don't have to listen to the radio this week. So,
we're doing this live from Vegas next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Oh man, this could either be really fun or really, really ugly.
Alive from the pool.
this could either be really fun or really, really ugly.
Yes, yes. This will be noon, so that'll be nice.
It's a 1 o'clock game, so the game will start at 10. It'll be over by 10 o'clock. Yeah. It'll be over by like one. It'll be like 2 o'clock your time.
Joe
summed it up. It's hard for me to be positive. I know they're 4-4. There's plenty of season left, which is good.
Yeah.
Tuesday's trade deadline could be interesting. I don't think it will be, but it could be.
It usually be prepared.
Isn't. Yeah, no. It's NFL like we usually... go. We go in with so many expectations, and then it's just like, it's 4 o'clock and no trades are made. All right,
cool. NFL is just not the NBA and baseball where things happen.
Do you know how awesome it would be if it was like the NBA trade deadline in offseason? Oh my gosh, give me that.
I know they always say because it's tougher to get them into the system and get them ready and all the physicals and stuff, but man, it would be so much fun.
Imagine
the Browns traded for.
The Browns trade OBJ a first-round pick, and I don't even know. And for some other big name, like you never see a star traded. Oh man, I just called OBJ a star. I hope I don't get hated for that. You don't see like a guy like OBJ getting traded for another big name during the season. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, I don't know. I expect a quiet week next week. Hopefully, they're just working, getting better. Fixing the freaking breakdowns on defense every day.
The breakdowns, the miscommunications, the penalties.
Oh my god!
But one thing,
that's another thing we haven't talked about this year. This team is highly undisciplined. Like, and it wasn't that bad. Like, I can't remember. I don't think they were one of the least penalized teams, weren't they? But this year, I think they're the worst. I think they're the last. Like, that's part on coaching too.
Wait, hold on. It says the Browns had 5 penalties for 30 yards today. I'm not going to question ESPN, but it seems. Oh, wait. Are penalties on both, like, the where was it? When was it when the – oh, on the Ronnie Harrison play when it was a late hit out of bounds.
Yeah, those are offsides,
So those don't count whatsoever? It's just a zero?
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I think they're offset.
Think they had multiple offsetting penalties then. I think there was a string there where there were like 4 penalties on the Browns and like 3 of them were offsetting. The Browns only had 5 penalties today, but like the back score doesn't tell the true story because they were super undisciplined.
Super undisciplined. It's just there was like a legal formation, I think, some of them on one of them. And yeah, those like some of that stuff, like pass interference, sometimes you're just gonna get a bad call against you. We've seen that multiple times this year. But like the illegal formations, false starts, that shouldn't happen. If you're a good team, that should not happen. And it does. Agree. Yeah.
And Joe Gilbert, your dad, said how I guess we'll get off topic for a second.
Yeah.
Said, how about those Medina Bees? I'm just putting it out there. If Medina wins this coming Friday against Cleveland Heights, there is a good chance
that
they will play St. Ignatius.
Yes.
A week from now. So I don't know if the Gilbert family is going to be saying, how about those Medina Bees? I'm just saying.
We might have a live bet on that before that game. If they
betting on high school football, that's when we know we have a betting issue, especially because Joe's going to Vegas this week.
Can I bet on high school football down there?
I bet you somewhere there are people better on high school football.
High school futures.
Like me and Joe are joking. I bet you there's like seriously somewhere, some way. There's like a live line somewhere probably.
I wouldn't put it again. I wouldn't put it past Vegas.
But the Browns offense is struggling. If you want to see a good high powered offense, come to Medina, Ohio, Northeast Ohio, Friday night. Drew Allar, Penn State commit. I mean, I work the game, so it's. Let me just say that it's much more fun to watch Medina's offense than it is the Cleveland Browns offense lately.
Yeah, it was.
And it will be even more fun if they play Ignatius in a couple weeks and they dominate them too. I'm just saying.
Hey! 1 week at a time, sir. Don't count your chickens too early.
Yeah, but final thoughts. Joe already summed it up. Today was ugly. It was scary. It was Halloween. It was supposed to be a fun Halloween in the First Energy Stadium. It just turned Halloween into a scarier holiday in downtown. There's nothing else. I'm surprised we were on here for 45 minutes again. We always say that we're going to go short, and then it's always 45 minutes to an hour.
This is shorter for us, though.
True. But yeah, the Browns, 15-10. In an ugly loss to the Steelers with not really many positives besides Myles Garrett and Greg Newsome III. They're 4-4. There's still 9 games left in the season. The problem is that they have one of the toughest remaining schedules because they play Steelers once, Bengals twice, Ravens twice. I know they play at New England, which is going to be tough. So, I mean, I know we have to, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but at 4-4, it's becoming sprints. It's becoming a run of sprints, not just a marathon. So Sunday, week 9 of a 17-game regular season, I know I've said it multiple times, but it might be a must-win, especially in this tough division. Because if you go 0-2 in the AFC North, 2, you can go like 3 games behind the Ravens and 2 games behind the Bengals. I'm just guesstimating on that. I don't know the exact standings off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, Sunday in Cincinnati might be a must win. So hopefully when Joe and I join you next week with Joe poolside in Vegas and me sitting here, hopefully we're not hitting our lives like we are right now. But seriously, 4-4. Try to be positive. I know it's tough. Yeah. Just try to be positive.
Like you keep thinking that too. Like, oh, they're under 500. They're 500 still. So
they are.
That is the positive of today. They're 4-4. They can go 9-0. Still get that 13-4. So
yeah. And yeah, and Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, trade deadline. It'll be interesting to see if the Browns make any depth moves. I don't think anything major happens, but they badly need offensive line depth. So maybe they'll make a move or two there. OBJ, I don't think he gets traded. I know that'll be much sports talk for the next 48 or so hours, but I don't think he gets traded. But yeah, Browns are 4-4. On to Cincinnati. Enjoy your week. Joe, enjoy Vegas. Don't lose too much money. Hopefully you come out positive.
We'll see.
And yeah, thanks for joining us again, guys. Always, and like I always say, if you join us live, leave a comment. We'll feature you no matter if it's good or bad, as long as there's no swear words.
And you don't even have to talk about the game either.
Exactly. You can talk about,
just like Joe Gilbert did,
Vegas pools, if you want.
Yes.
And what resides in Vegas pools sometimes. Wow, where am I going with this? I don't know.
What are you doing here?
Okay. Yes, but if you listen to us later, just listen to our podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, leave a 5-star review. That way we look good, better than the Friday Fumble and all the other podcasts I'm waiting for next year. Because Joe and I, let's be honest, we're the best.
We are the best.
But yeah, thank you guys. Another Sunday. Unfortunately, it's a lot less happiness than it sometimes is lately. But try to be positive.
Everybody, just go out, eat your kids' candy if you have kids. If you don't have kids,
and get a sugar high.
Candy. Just get sugar high and go to bed.
And always remember, starting tomorrow, candy is 50% off at most stores.
That's true.
Boom. Best thing about Halloween right there. Browns are 4-4. On to Cincinnati. And thanks for joining us again, guys. Go Browns.
See ya.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.